Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Here comes a 1-2 pitch.
Get the duck boats ready.
The Red Sox win.
The Red Sox win.
I just went head over heels in my chair.
Dale Arnold.
World champions, baby! World champions, number one!
Rich Keefe.
Shout out to my man Tommy Heisen, though. Real talk, he got me in shape.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Yo, you think you'll go to the White House, man?
Hell yeah, I'll with Trump.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We are broadcasting live from Fenway Park. We are actually in the WEEI broadcast booth where Joe and Tim bring you all the action all season long. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. The program, as it has begun here, is really Tom Karen emceeing, but politicians, the mayor, the governor, people like that are speaking at the moment. Players have only sort of incognito made brief appearances. Brock Holt's been out near second base playing with his kids. Jason Veritek has been out on the mound with his wife and daughter. But the Red Sox players have not yet, other than Holt, have not yet made their way out of the clubhouse. Three World Series trophies have been placed on the table on the podium, which is set up right behind the Red Sox dugout, and they have left, obviously, space for the fourth, which will be making its way out. It'll be curious, at least I'll be curious, to see who it is that they entrust to care. Well, now we know. The fourth trophy is just making its way out right now, and it's Tom Werner who's hauling it out and placing it on the table with the other three. Red Sox ownership has made their way out. John Henry is out there. Tom Werner is out there. They'll be speaking to the fans here, and I'm going to guess that Tom Werner is not going to attempt to start a cheer. That didn't go so well last time, and the sound lived forever. So this is parade day in Boston, which, I mean, let's be honest. Generally speaking, it's not easy getting around the city of Boston on the best of days. It is damn near impossible today. I'm just warning you right now, if you can avoid the Fenway area downtown, maybe you think, hey, maybe I'll just drop on down there and see what's going on today. Don't even try. It is a nightmare getting around this area. And there's not even that big a crowd here in the stands. It's, kind of a normal, regular, everyday, fourth of the house type of feel here. But when they leave here in just a little while and the duck boats are lined up outside, when they head downtown, well, then it's going to be a little more hectic. And that's when things will get a little crazy. That's sort of like getting into the ballpark, Keith. How you doing, pal?
Speaking of crazy, so no excuse. We're talking about how I'm not in shape. Well,
you are now.
That has proven it. I got my workout in for the day, though, Dale. So I apologize to you. Don't want to be the guy that complains on a parade, so I won't be.
Okay, good.
But what are we doing here? Oh, my God. That took me forever. And then I made the mistake of going to
the center field studio.
So you probably could have seen me run all the way from there, all the way around as they were players on the field and everybody else. But good day for it.
It's nothing perfect. Else,
if nothing else, it's a good day for it. But
Keith, you just get off the treadmill, that 100-mile-per-hour treadmill we were talking about?
I think that probably was my top speed. I think for about 30 seconds, that was up to about 100 miles an hour. I was like, well, I can't just walk in. I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm late, guys. So I'm like, I better get going here. Man.
It's a bit of a nightmare getting around here.
Yeah, a couple of the very popular streets are closed. A couple spots where you thought you might be able to drive are closed. Thankfully, I was able to get one of the last spots in one of these little parking lots.
I ended up driving to the radio station.
Yeah.
Parking there, getting an Uber, which could only get me so close here.
How was that? Was that a traffic for him?
Yeah, but it was, doable. And, he let me off a little ways from the park, and then you could walk in.
If Tom Brady was on, yesterday, I would have been fine. I would have walked right in.
Could have gone forever.
I'm like, hey, no big deal. Here I am. No problems here. But I am locked in for the rest of the day. So I apologize to everybody out there. I am here. First time ever I was late. That's on me.
And by the way, I never said you were late. No one would have known if you hadn't said you were late. Just so you know, I was covering for you here.
But if they hear me,
I was trying to be a good teammate.
They hear me panting. Well,
I would have let you breathe first.
Oh, my God. I was like,
Rich,
what a mess.
Have a sit.
Oh, my God. Trust me, I had about a two-hour sit in the car. There's definitely that to be had. So when they were saying don't drive down here, they weren't lying.
No, they weren't.
Because there's nowhere to go.
Team President Sam Kennedy just spoke to the crowd as well. The reason I bring it up is he's wearing his Cafe Martin hat.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a nice tribute.
As he was just talking to the crowd, and Tom Caron is there now. So you've had the Poet Laureate. He's come and gone.
How'd Dick Flavin do? I'm sorry, I missed him.
Yeah.
Was Flavin good today?
He actually refused to finish until you got into the park.
I am his biggest fan, so I'm really sorry I missed Dick Flavin. Rossi, we'll plan to play that back in full at some point.
No, I don't think
twice.
We actually.
We're going to do it twice, actually.
Twice, yeah, twice. You might as well. You got a new audience in there.
So he was out.
Yep.
And then you had the mayor. Mayor Walsh was out. And then Governor Charlie Baker was out. And now you've had ownership that's come out. And the team president, Dave Dombrowski, is out there on the podium now. We have yet to see. Well, I shouldn't say we haven't seen any of the players. As I said, Brock Holt was out running around with his kids at second base a few minutes ago.
There's a number of kids on the field. It looks like some players' wives or girlfriends are out on the field as well. So, yeah, the players, they kind of blend in with everybody.
Well, now, because they've got, like, you know, jeans and UGG boots and
like soda
parkas
and jackets, because it is kind of cold out. Luckily, it's very sunny. But so what? Who is here? Like, who is in the crowd? Because
these are just fans who came in.
Okay.
You can walk into the ballpark if you're walking distance from Fenway. Come on down.
I was gonna say because it's basically the whole first base side, like that lower level, is completely full. They have sort of a stage on top of the dugout, and that's where people are talking. All the trophies look good.
They just brought the fourth one out. Tom Werner.
Is that
just
right? Donnie Wahlberg was here as well.
Oh well, let's hold on.
Him,
did you go downstairs and see? I couldn't tell from here.
Let's go check in with him. No, but Dave Dombrowski, who, if anybody can take a big time victory lap, it'd be Dave Dombrowski.
He sort of wins today. Big hands so far from the fans here. Jerry Remy popped his head out of the dugout and came out on the first base side, and the place went crazy, as you can imagine.
Yes. Yeah.
David Ortiz got a big hand as he was out, kind of doing the media rounds and talking with a bunch of the different TV outlets down there.
Okay.
But as far as on-field personnel, other than the guys incognito, you know, they haven't made their way out yet. There was supposed to be a reception here around 9, a reception and guys in the clubhouse signing things and all that. I have a feeling that got started a trifle late.
Yes, I can see that. Well, because the plan is wheels up from here at 11. Right.
That is the plan.
So they got a little less than an hour here to still go through, talk to some of the people, do the interviews over the PA, and then head on out there. And it's definitely starting to fill up. Just, you know, I was very recently outside of the park. There's people all lined up, ready to go. A lot of streets are closed. Tons of police officers everywhere, but people seem ready to go for the day.
You guys want a little? You guys want a little action of Blake Swihart earlier talking with Garen Austin?
Very exciting. We're good right now.
I don't think so.
We talk about the players talking. This is the exciting stuff.
I'm catching my breath, but even still, I think we can do better than that. No offense to either of them, both great professionals, but I think we can shoot a little higher than the 25th man on the roster. No,
who only got to play in the 16-1 game.
Barely. They were like, ugh, we got to burn our third catcher here.
It's like in Little League when they'd let you go out and play that inning in right field.
Yeah, you had to get your one at-bat in your three innings. Like, oh, go stand
go
out
ahead.
There.
Go stand.
Pray the ball doesn't get hit to you.
Look, if it does come out there, let Billy get it, okay?
Center fielder, you got to shade over there a little bit. You got to make a play if need be. But no, this is good. And Rossi, when somebody else...
I got David Ortiz. How about David Ortiz?
David Ortiz, Dale. What do you think? That one makes a little bit more sense. Let's hear Ortiz.
Like, I'm a retired player right now, but I mean, I'm a Red Sox for life. So, you know, every time this organization wins, it's just like, it feels like.
This is the best fans of baseball. That's the way it is. You can see it.
We seem to be mixing.
Yeah, splicing a little bit.
Dave Dombrowski, David Ortiz.
The passion.
This is
here.
Did we intend to put Dave Dombrowski on this exact?
That is not me.
No, I know.
We appreciate what you've done for us,
guys. Do you know Dave Dombrowski?
Thank you,
everybody.
Good night. See, I was here for Dombrowski. He's rocking the
one of the great moves.
Damage done.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Okay, good lord. I was like, that's really loud.
Where did he come from?
Yeah, he's got the nice the new sweatshirt that I'm sure is available at all stores. He's
Damage
got the,
Done.
The Damage Done hoodie. He's got that going.
Which, frankly, I applaud. I like it.
I thought you didn't like this. Oh, no, you don't like the T-shirt. The, what was it, the history?
H18TORY.
Yeah, that is a little bit much. No, the Damage Done is a lot better. That got people going for sure.
Well, because you had Do Damage leading up to it. You know.
And then the Dodgers tried talking trash, or at least their social media person did.
Okay,
they
now,
Damage Done.
Let's go to the podium now.
Yes.
And the manager.
Yeah.
How about if we let Alex talk? You
it's
guys
been a
stop.
Historic season, and you guys made it special. I mean, congratulations to you, too. Enjoy it.
You have been on a duck boat here before, 2007. You won a championship here as a player. You came in at one point with this team, obviously, thinking it could win a championship here as manager. Have you had a chance to tell the players what it would be like coming back to Boston with this trophy and this championship?
No, not really. I just hope they understand how important this is for our fan base. Like I've been saying since day one, this is crazy. This is madness, you know? And you guys live this 24 hours, 7 days a week. Your expectations are way up there. But one thing for sure, the same expectations you guys have, that group down there has it too, and that's what they're the world champs.
Sometimes you got to hit the valley before the peak. You lose in 7 hours and 20 minutes in game three. We've all heard now about the team meeting. Give us a quick glimpse into that room. What you said, what they said, what it was like at that moment when you had come off what could have been a crushing loss.
It was a crushing loss for the people outside the clubhouse. One thing I've been telling them for a while now is how proud I am of them. And that day from pitch one all the way to the last pitch, we fought and fought and fought. And at the end, we just, whatever, we didn't win the game. So in that room, I was telling them how proud I was. And we made a point of letting Nate know how important he was for us. I don't know, I might be making this up, but I think I told them. I said, when we win the whole thing, when people look back to game three, they're not going to remember who lost that game. They're going to remember Nate Eovaldi in one of the greatest performances in World Series history.
And with two outs in the seventh inning, the next night, you're probably wondering, maybe I should have said something else, because you're down 4-0, but Mitch Moreland, pinch hits, you've been pulling all the right moves, the three-run home run, Steve Pierce ties it up, you go 9 runs from that point on.
And this is how Boston works, because in the sixth inning, they wanted to fire me. No, yeah. I heard that tweeter went from Alex up there to Alex down there. But that's who they are, and I kept telling them, hey, thank you. You guys pick me up tonight. You guys pick me up tonight. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And now here we are. We're going to have a great day today. That's awesome.
What was that dugout like? Chris Sale strikes out Manny Machado. You've just won the World Series. Can you remember that moment? Is it a blur? What were those next few minutes like?
I remember. I do remember. So I went to the umpire to tell him that Chris was coming in and Jackie was going to play defense. And then I looked to right field and I see Chris coming in and the rest of the bullpen giving him a standing ovation. And you don't see that often. And just looking over there, I'm like, hey, man, we did it right. You know, they do believe in each other. They do care about each other. And then slider to Turner, swing and a miss, blocked by Christian, one out. 3-2 slider to Kike. He didn't recognize it, it seems like. He tried to foul it off. Strike two. And then the guy we've been waiting the whole season. And I turn around to Ron Renick. I say, we've been waiting for this guy the whole season. Fastball, 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 slider, and now we're the world champs. Amazing, amazing.
Couple last ones, Alex, then we'll let you get on your boat. You talked about that buy-in, the way this whole team. I mean, you got a guy like Brock Holt, hits the first cycle in Major League playoff history. He's not in the lineup next day.
Tough
but
league.
He buys into it.
Tough league. You know, you hit for the cycle, you don't play the next day. That's how it works.
So what was that like to have the players who said, I believe in this system, and I'm willing to put my own desires in the background for the team?
Well, and you guys, I don't like talking about myself, but what this organization did last year, giving me a chance to manage at the big league level, knowing what I'm coming from, knowing that I had no experience, knowing that I'm 42 and still learning, they gave me a shot. They trusted me. Since the first meeting in Fort Myers with Jackie, Chris, David, and Sandy, I kept telling them, let's move on. You know, it starts here. This is what I want. This is what we're going to do. And this is what's going to happen. And to see it on a daily basis, just get the information, use it to your advantage, play hard, and win games. And if not, we just turn the page. It was awesome. In October, Brock hits for the cycle. He doesn't play the next day. Who else? There was a lot of those that they didn't care. I try to make a point every, you know, when during the season, I will tell you, if you were going to start probably the night before or 2 days before. In October, we did it for the first few days, but then after that, it really didn't matter. I didn't have to text them. I didn't have to call them because they didn't care. They just wanted to show up, help everybody out, and win ball games. And think about it. The New York Yankees, yeah, the sky was falling. You know, we lost game two, and he was panicking here. Everybody was like, whoa, it's over. We scored 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it. And then, for how much I care about those guys in Houston, well, we went to Houston and we swept them down there. And to finish it off, we go to this historic ballpark that holds 55,000 people. I played there for 6 years. And I know how special Dodger Stadium is. And when Steve Pierce hit that home run in game five, it felt like we had 40,000 fans cheering for us at Dodger Stadium. It was an amazing run. It was an amazing year. And you guys make it that special. Thank you very much. Enjoy.
Well done.
Gee, is there much doubt in your mind about why players like playing for this guy?
What was that line there after the 16 runs?
Suck it. All of a sudden, he's a member of DX.
I guess so. Very fitting. But no, that was great. And some of the stories that he was telling. And I'll tell you what, the most memorable World Series game happened to be the one game that they lost. But the stories that came out after that, so they play for 7.5 hours. And then the next thing you know, he's hyping up the crowd, or he's hyping up the team after the game.
Let's go back to the podium.
Steve Pierce?
Yeah, it sure is. This is incredible.
What was that like, not being named, I'm sure that was incredible, but the days leading up to it, those last couple of games, after that 18-inning loss, you guys are down 4-0 in the seventh. Chris Sale is screaming at anyone who'll listen in the dugout that you got to get going. Moreland hits one. You hit one. All of a sudden, it was almost like you just felt that momentum swing. What was it like to be in the middle of that?
Oh, it was incredible. When Chris was going off on everybody, and it was, and we knew we had to get it going. You know, our offense was kind of went silent there for about 20 innings, but we figured it out, and then everything started happening well for us. You know, Mitch with the big homer. Tied the game, you know, Brock double, like everybody responded, and that's just how we played all year. You know, we found ways to get it done. When our back was against the wall, we band together and we got it done.
Alex pulled everybody in after that 18-inning loss. He doesn't like to have meetings, but he felt you guys needed to know how well you played in that game, how historic that was. What did that meeting mean to you as far as being able to get back up the next day and get after it?
It's what we needed. It was what we needed. You know, we shut the doors. We had a good team meeting, and we came out the next day and we responded. I mean, that's what it's all about.
I always say, I was born in New England. These people were born into this. You were born into this. You were
that's
born
right,
a Red Sox
right.
fan.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, didn't really have a chance when I was younger. You know, this, you know, my dad's from up here, and Patriots, Red Sox, that's all I ever knew.
So to be part of this, to think that in about 20 minutes you're going to be standing on a duck boat driving through the city of Boston in a championship parade, if you could go back and tell 12-year-old Stevie Pierce, someday you'll be on a championship parade with the Red Sox, what would that kid have said?
He would have believed it. He would have believed it. This is a dream come true for me, and I am so thankful to be here right now.
You've been on a lot of teams, mm-hmm. a long journey to get to this point, to get this opportunity. You spent a half season here with these fans. You know how they feel about this team. What has that meant to you here over the last few months?
These are the best fans in sports right here. And it's meant the world to me. They accepted me when I got here. The team did. Also, I mean, this has been one of the funnest teams I've ever played for, and I really hope to come back next year.
We hope to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, the World Series Most Valuable Player, Steve Pierce.
I don't know if you heard. Grew up in Rehoboth, Red Sox fan.
You know he's a local guy.
I don't know if you've been.
Local
I don't
flavor
that,
there.
That actually is something Tom Caron was able to wheedle out of him that none of us were aware of.
I was going to say, you know, you played on all the teams in the AL East. You played on every single one of those teams.
And all of them stunk until now.
No, that's true. No, but that was pretty good. A very unassuming World Series MVP. But that's, I mean, who the ALCS MVP was Jackie Bradley. So on a team with MVP candidates, Cy Young winners in the past, and it's Jackie Bradley and Steve Pierce coming up with some of the clutchest hits throughout the entire postseason.
I assume at some point they're going to bring another player up there, and they are. It might be a guy who's going to be the MVP of the entire American League.
No, I think this is your ALCS.
Oh, there
MVP.
He is. Okay, now I see him. I couldn't see who they were bringing up. Jackie Bradley Jr. on with TC.
I hope so. Take me through these last few weeks, what this playoff run has been like. You've been to the playoffs before. Mookie said at one point, monkey off our back, getting past that first round. The way that went, going down to New York, winning those. You're the MVP against Houston. You come from behind and win those games against the Dodgers. It's an unbelievable script, isn't it?
Yeah, you couldn't write a better script. What an amazing story, amazing ride it's been. During the playoffs, it didn't even feel like it was the playoffs. It felt like a continuation of the year. We continue to, take each game one at a time. And after we would win, we would just try to focus on the next. And it was just an amazing ride.
You guys have bonded together in the outfield so well. How special is it to be part of what even Fred Lynn called the best outfield in baseball?
great, great group of guys. I'm honored to even, be playing with them. We're really close, so much that, we talk to each other about anything. It also means that we're going to get on each other about everything. So we like to give each other a hard time. I think that just kind of speaks to how close we are as a team.
9-2-out RBI in that series against the Astros. I asked David Ortiz this, and I'll ask you this. How do you keep yourself in the moment? How do you not let that, it's two outs, game on the line, guys on base. How do you make sure that you don't let the game speed up on yourself?
Just focus on your preparation. Do what you've done all year and try to lock it in.
And you did, no doubt about that. We've talked so much about the team-first mentality here. I mentioned before Brock Holt, right? You hit the cycle, not in the lineup the next day. You out to the National League Park. Someone's got to come out. J.D. Martinez in. You come in off the bench in those games. What does it say about this team that all of you guys bought into that and would do whatever it takes?
We have a very deep team. As you can see, we had a lot of guys contribute throughout this postseason. It wasn't just one guy, two guys who did it. Everyone had their moment, and that's what it's going to take to win it all, and of course, we win it all.
You guys used to dance after every win out in the outfield, and when you stopped, I remember you said at one point in spring training, we'll dance after we win.
Right.
It all. You've won it all. Is it time to dance?
Is that what we said?
That's what we're saying. Is it time to dance?
I don't know. Is it? I got to get my crew up here if it is.
I have to have a little dance here before it's all said and done. Jackie and J.
enjoy it. What's it going to be like to be out here in the city of Boston on a duck boat celebrating a championship?
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody's out supporting. We're loving it. Families are out. We can't wait to see everybody.
Jackie Bradley Jr., he's got the MVP. Can we get him a gold glove now like he deserves?
Jackie Bradley Jr., being applauded as slowly but surely we're seeing groups of players and family members slowly making their way out through the garage door in center field where they will be loading up the duck boats. And right now David Price is in the middle of a big media scrum behind first base out towards where the, as Joe would say, Canvas Alley is.
And he's holding a bunch of cards, it looks like.
No, that's his son, Xavier.
His
son. He has until midnight tonight to make up his mind about whether he opts out.
You think he already knows the answer?
I think he does. I don't know that
he must.
I don't know that he's going to share it with us today.
He may not share it with us on the. But I wonder on the. I wonder if his teammates all know one way or another. I wonder how that's all going
to
work.
Let's take a listen to World Series hero Nathan Eovaldi.
Well, say hi to everybody.
Hi. And that's his son, that's
Nathan Eovaldi's son.
What have the past few days been like? Since you guys won it and came back across the country, is it a dream come true? What's it been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a dream come true. I mean, this is everything we worked for from the moment spring training on, and for this to finally come true, it's been a whirlwind for sure.
All right, take us back to, Saturday morning. When you come in out of the bullpen, in your mind, how many innings do you think you're going to go?
I think I'm only going to go one or two. I mean, that's it, and...
Didn't work out that way. 97 pitches later, was there any point, what was your mentality inning after inning? Alex said you just kept saying, no, I'm good, I got another one. What was your mentality?
I just kept thinking, you know, I got two more innings, and, you know, once we take the lead, I wanted to, you know, be able to finish it off and get that win.
You can talk to Chase real quick. I'll let you go.
He wants to talk on the mic.
You want to say hello again?
Hello.
That's Chase Eovaldi.
How about Go Sox?
Go Sox!
Getting the biggest cheap pop of the day.
Yes, he is.
The team rallied around you after the game. Yeah. Obviously, that could have been a crushing loss. Alex brought you all in. Take us into that moment. What was it like after a tough defeat like that?
Yeah, I mean, the first game at home against the or on the road against the Dodgers, you always want to get that first one out of the way. Losing in extras, you know, for me it was tough. I don't know, I felt like the tides could turn, but with my performance, everybody was so positive. They, you know, really rallied against or with me. And the AC was just saying, you know, it was just an amazing performance, and everybody gave me a little standing ovation in the clubhouse. And, you know, I knew going in the next two games that was going to be it.
Did you really tell Alex the next day you were good to go if he needed you?
Yeah, I mean, just. It's like that night, you know, you can't predict baseball. So I ended up throwing six innings instead of one or two, and I wanted to make myself available the next day.
How's your arm feel?
It feels great now.
All right, I know, Jace, you want to say one more thing. You want to say something else?
Yeah. Go Red Sox!
There you go. Nathan, enjoy the parade today. Congratulations. It was incredible to watch.
Thank you.
Nathan Eovaldi,
NJ's. Nathan Eovaldi, while he's speaking, David Price is making news.
Breaking news.
When he was in that giant scrum that I told you about down there behind first base, he was telling everybody.
Breaking news with Dale and Keith, brought to you by J.N. Phillips Auto Glass on Sports Radio WEEI.
David Price has told the giant media scrum, I'm opting in. He's not going anywhere.
I think most fans are happy. Not all fans, right? I mean, I think, again, it's weird timing of it because you're celebrating this year's team and you want to look back on the moments that were and the great run and how good David Price was, how good Nathan Eovaldi was, how good all these guys were. But the reality is I don't think it's a great thing for the team. I don't know how you feel, Dale. I just think that $127 million for 4 years of a guy in his mid to what will then be his late 30s, I don't think it's a great baseball move.
So David Price had all the cards, as he told us. He wasn't talking about the opting in thing, but it made for a good sound bite. Yeah, he did have that too.
Yes, he did.
But he had also said before the playoffs started, He didn't plan on going anywhere, and I'm not sure everybody believed him.
Right, and I think before the playoffs started, you would say, yeah, you're not going anywhere because you definitely won't be able to get that money back from another team. But then after the playoff run, finally being able to win playoff games, including two in the World Series, I don't know if he would have gotten $31, $32 million a year, but he probably would have been able to get pretty close if he really wanted out, right? Like another team may have added another year. Maybe he makes 25 a year, but he ends up getting more than 127, and that's his last deal. So potentially the money could have been made because of how good he was in the playoffs. But for the Red Sox, I don't know. I could see both sides of it because you're saying, all right, well, what's the starting rotation going to look like next year? But the reality is, Dale, if he was a free agent, let's say David Price was a free agent, would you sign him to a $127 million deal for 4 years as a Red Sox?
What I thought was possible that he could get 135 over five, or, you know, that the average annual value would be lower, but the gross pot of money that he was going to be making would be greater.
Let's say you were here. If you were in charge of the Red Sox and he was just a free agent, say he signed a three-year deal.
I would not. Not at this stage of his career. That amount of money, I would not.
And neither would I, and that's why I think it's too bad.
They're the ones who signed him to the deal that gave him the...
They did. He had all the control, and usually those guys opt out. I mean, was it A-Rod opted out? CeCe Sabathia opted out? Like, all these guys with these huge contracts, and even when you think, no, they won't, there's still so much money in the game that these guys find a way to make more. But Price at 33, you know, this year he was under 200 innings in the regular season. Last year he fought through all kinds of injuries. He finally pitched well in the playoffs, and he's coming back. I think more fans are welcoming him back now, but I still think overall it's not great for the team.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back here to Fenway Park, and I'll tell you why I'm surprised that he opted in, which is what he has elected to do today. More specifically, he's not opting out. Right. But David Price will stay a member of the Boston Red Sox. That was his decision. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll get to your calls as well. We'll have more sound as the day goes on. They are still here at Fenway, but many of the players and their families have made their way out through that garage door in center field where the duck boats are waiting outside.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Down 4-0, but Mitch Moreland pinch hits. Woo. You've been pulling all the right moves.
No.
The 3-run home run. Steve Pierce ties it up. You go 9 runs from that point on.
And this is how Boston works, because in the 6th inning, they wanted to fire me. No, yeah. I heard that tweeter went from Alex up there to Alex down there.
And he's on Twitter, by the way.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So he knows. He pays attention to it.
Alex Cora, who...
Although, I don't know how negative it really got towards him,
no,
to be
for
honest.
Him, none.
I mean, there was the one
nobody.
There, and so, if he thinks that was negative, I'm not sure. He might want to take a look at David Price's mentions over the last couple of years. Maybe that's some negativity. But Alex Cora, yeah, I think a lot of people said he should have taken Eduardo Rodriguez out, but that was one of the very few examples the whole postseason run.
It was hard to find many mistakes that he ever made, and that was one. By his own admission, that was one.
Right.
But Joe Kelly's up at the podium now as the crowd is thinning out as the duck boats are filling up. Should we go downstairs and listen to Joe for a second?
I think so.
Here's Joe Kelly.
We kind of challenge ourselves. Before the playoff season started, the pitching coach came up to us and showed us all the headlines saying how bad our bullpen was. We're the worst bullpen in all the playoffs. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for saying that. You know, that challenged us as a group, honestly. But no, it was very, very exciting. And you know, something that we wanted to do and as best as we can and show up every single day ready to pitch.
That strikeout of Grandal, your second inning, you got a guy on third base. You guys are trying to put this thing away. Where does that rank in your baseball career?
Way up there. I think what ranked even higher was looking at the Dodger dugout and looking at Max Muncy maybe yell some bad words at me.
I mentioned the Fight Club back at the beginning. You really got a feel for what this passion is all about. You already knew, but did that whole experience, what happened with the Yankees, what was it, the Bruins game a couple days later, you get a standing ovation up in the suite. Did that give you an even better appreciation for what these fans are like?
I mean, you just said it. Look, we have all these people here right now, and we're not even playing a baseball game. We have the best fans in all of baseball, and we were in L.A. during Game 5, and there was more Red Sox chants and Let's Go Dodger chants than throughout the whole entire game.
When you were last here in a World Series experience, you were with the Cardinals, and you guys lost Game 6. Sorry to bring that up, but you were going to be the Game 7 starter. So I've always thought that had to be like the ultimate, right? You're getting ready for what would be the biggest start of your life, and you don't even get that opportunity. To kind of go through that, to get traded here, and to now be on a Duck Boat, is there sort of a full circle here that makes you appreciate it this much more?
Thank you, St. Louis Cardinals. you know, like you said, we lost to the Red Sox in the World Series in 13. Then I got traded over. But the Red Sox organization, we were able to win a World Series this year. And it was one of those weird feelings where I was going to pitch Game 7. But pitching every single game in the World Series is a lot cooler than probably pitching Game 7.
I want to ask you finally, I've always felt, especially over the last couple of months and into the playoffs, there's really kind of a band of brothers feel to the bullpen out there. You guys bonded together, different guys did different roles. We learned what a rover was, a starting pitcher starting. Now we got to have three mounds in a bullpen just to get everybody ready in a World Series game. But take us into that mentality a little bit. How sweet is it today to be celebrating with those guys who've meant so much to each and every one of you?
It's amazing. And honestly, like you said, we are so close, and every guy on that team is like my brother. And it all started with us getting some Fortnite wins, led to a World Series win. Let's go.
How much are you looking forward to this ride?
Looking forward to it? It's something that I've heard from past players. You know, winning the World Series is great, and, you know, it's the best feeling, they said, but going on this parade, I heard from David Ortiz, from Pedro Martinez, Jason Veritek, they said this is what they look forward to after the World Series, and this is the next best thing. So I'm excited, and thank you guys for coming out.
All right, keep an eye on the Joe Kelly boat, that's for sure. Thanks, buddy. Congratulations.
So there's the key to success, Dale.
Fortnite. Got a few Fortnite wins
so
first.
So what we got to do, you, me, we got Rossi, and we got Shine.
Well, like I have Fortnite. To, like, go buy a gaming system and stuff?
Yes, but good news is Fortnite's free.
Oh, well,
it's
there
a free
you go.
Game. So we start playing some fours. Shine, you want to set that up, get the four of us on there? We'll start playing
some. I got
some
you guys.
Fun.
Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, good. Because then that's the key. You start out with that, then you come back here, and you win a World Series. Pretty good.
Well, the team is making their way out to center field, and let's just tune in for a quick second. Jerry Remy has just come to the podium.
Jerry, first of all, how are you? Everybody wants to know. How are you feeling?
I'm kicking cancer's ass.
Cancer had no chance. I never doubted it. Watching this thing come together, you were here in the booth. Then you got pulled out of the booth. You're watching at home. How special has this team been to you?
Well, I tell you, you could tell in spring training, you know, it was very obvious. We get to see the teams in spring training. You knew it was going to be a good team. You hoped that it stayed healthy. And the fact that this team had unity, it really had unity. They loved each other. That comes from Alex Cora. He did a fabulous job bringing this club together. They played hard all season long. They played the game the way it's supposed to be played. And this is the result, a nice new parade today.
When you were a kid, we didn't have a Duck Boat parade every year or two.
When I was a kid, we were used to losing every year. Now we win every year.
How different is this?
Oh, this is great. This is, you know, you beat New York. Yeah. You beat L.A. Yeah. All the Hollywood people. Yeah. We got Hollywood people right here.
We got world champions right here is what we got.
We got world champions. That's all we need. Enjoy, folks, enjoy the day. Have a great day. Enjoy what this great team did.
There it is. Jerry, give us one more. Give us a, what's a, you say Buenas tardes. What's the daytime?
What time is it?
It's
Buenos dias, amigos.
There you go.
Good night, everybody. Jerry Remy, who, as I said, when he came out earlier out of the dugout and first appeared before this crowd, got a huge ovation.
Yeah, of course he did.
Huge ovation.
He was fired up.
He was real revved up as they continue to get ready to load these boats up. They're supposed to leave at 11, but nothing's gone on time today.
No.
Let's be honest.
Including my arrival.
This might, yeah. That's a good point, Keith. Sort of in keeping with the way things have gone today.
But a great day. You got the four World Series trophies there. And then you got major news. You got breaking news. There's really a lot to unpack here.
Jeff Passan has reported that, David Price has said he's not opting out. But Clayton Kershaw hasn't made his decision yet. He's got until midnight tonight as well.
See, he strikes me as a guy who will opt out, but then maybe...
Then they'll sign him to a bunch more money.
Maybe stays there. Although, he doesn't look all that sharp. He's not the same Clayton Kershaw that he was in years past, where nobody was better. But... Yeah, this is definitely, you know, with the David Price news, I think it's good for the teammates. They all want him back, like, so they can celebrate, and they can celebrate even more during the duck boats. But this also will factor into what Dave Dombrowski and the front office decide to do going forward, because now they know they're committed to Price for over $30 million a year for the next four.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get to the calls with you, give you a chance to react to the news of the day, which is that David Price is going nowhere. He is staying a member of the Boston Red Sox. And by the way, this was a one-time opt-out. Unlike, you know, like
J.D. Martinez.
J.D. Martinez has like a couple of those. Yeah. No, this was it. He decided to stay today, or he decided to go today. He's decided to stay. So that's the big news of the day here at Fenway. 617-779-7937. Live at Fenway Park, it's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Here at Fenway, as they are loading up the duck boats and preparing for their departure through the streets of Boston. But as we said, the big news of the morning has already been made here at Fenway Park. There was a huge gaggle of reporters gathered around David Price. The obvious question, perhaps the surprising answer.
Yeah, I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here. And we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
How important is it that you coming back, but some of the other guys like Pierce and Eovaldi and Kimbrel, do you want to keep this group together?
Absolutely. You know, we want to be able to keep as many guys here as we can. You know, we had a very good team this year, and you know, we want to continue on with that same trend.
He's coming back 4 years, and again, about midway through the season, I think you assumed he'd be back. Just because where else was he going to get that money, right? It was just like a business decision, and with the Players Association.
And by the way,
okay,
he might not be able to get that money
anywhere. He still
might
not be. And that's why I wonder how much, you know, due diligence was there. Because I know his agent can't legally talk to all these teams and be like, hey, what would you give David Price?
I always figured they do.
But of course they do, because you see these guys. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they looked around the league and realized that, yeah, there's money out there for him, but he's going to have to give a lot of it back. Maybe he gets a $100 million deal. But he's not going to get 127, at least not over 4 years anyway. So he decides to come back. And I do think that a lot of the – because he's had issues with both fans and media. It hasn't been just one.
See, that's why – and that's why his announcement this morning surprises me. Not from the money aspect.
Yeah.
Because I was pretty much convinced he hated it here.
And so now he can't make any – now he can't complain about it.
He sounded so – bitter is the wrong – it's too strong a term. But, you know, in the aftermath of winning a World Series, he was still, you know, now you can't hold that card over me anymore.
Yeah,
and
it's
like, as I was listening to it, I'm thinking, man, he is pissed still.
Right, and it could have been – he could have had the last laugh. You know, he gets the World Series, and then he leaves. And then the Red Sox are looking for another starting pitcher. But he – had an opportunity, I think, to go. Like, his stock went back up because as soon as he started pitching for the Red Sox, his stock went down. It did. I mean, his first year's ERA was about 4. That's not what it was the year before, where he was the runner-up in the Cy Young voting. He was, I think his ERA was like 2.6 or whatever, or 2, whatever it was. It led the league. Like, he was fantastic, but he was getting older and he wasn't pitching very well. And last year he was injured, and then this year he bounced back. Made 30 starts, and then finally was able to get over that obstacle of winning in the playoffs. So I think teams would have taken a chance, but you're not going to see a lot of guys mid-30s sign a deal for over $30 million a year. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
so
I thought the average annual value was going to go down, but I thought he'd get an extra year out of it, the total package might be a little higher, especially in the aftermath of how he performed in the World Series. It's like, okay, he got that monkey off his back. We'll just go from there. I thought he was going to go because I thought he hated it here.
And if he
hated it here, he had the chance to go out the door.
And my guess is that Dave Dombrowski is secretly upset. I think secretly he's upset. He's going to say
he can't say
him.
Anything.
Some really bad playoff performances mixed in there early on, but then ultimately he was lights out and won the biggest games that he ever pitched. Whereas Dombrowski, I just think for the long-term success of the team, you know, after already trading away a number of the prospects to build this World Series champion, one of the sort of ways to free up money would have been David Price moving on. And I'm not saying David Price is going to be a bad pitcher next season.
I think he'll be good.
He probably will be pretty good. But how do you feel at 36 and at 37, which is what he's going to be at the end of the deal? I think the chances of him pitching well then are very, very small.
Well, you've got him. You've got him for
you sure
for the next 4 years.
Now, there's always the outside chance
they could trade him.
Right. Like if he's saying, hey, I'm opting in, and it's a financial reason, and then he's telling those guys, you know what, I did all I could, but I hate it here and I want to go. I don't know if that's the case anymore. It might not be.
I don't think so.
Winning
but,
cures a lot of things, right? And if he loves the team so much, you know, he can maybe focus on that a little bit more. And he's definitely won the fans back. And I'm sure we'll talk to a lot of them today that are happy that he's back. There are definitely going to be those that say, you know what, I would rather him just have left and they can – you know, really invest that money back into Mookie Betts with an extension or J.D. Martinez changing his deal around or some of the other young guys on the team.
Well, one of the guys we heard from today, Nathan Eovaldi, we were saying, well, if Price opts out, then you've really got to keep Nathan Eovaldi.
Right, so now he seems less likely to be back,
in my
mind.
It would seem that that would be the case.
Because I
mean, you've got a bunch of pitchers under contract now.
Yeah, and I think, don't you think Eovaldi's going to make $20 million a year?
I think that's too high.
Maybe I'm caught up in what he was doing, but I just think, because he's pretty young, too. Like, because he came into the majors pretty young, so he's been around a little bit.
I think
bit,
he might make 15.
I think if Rick Porcello's making 20, I would.
But he's got a Cy Young in his closet too.
But he made 20. Didn't he make 20 before he got the Cy Young? I thought they gave him the deal like after he did,
almost before
he
did anything.
I think they did. So yeah, he does now. His resume looks better now. But this season and this playoff run, I think you'd rather have Nathan Eovaldi. But if you're paying $20 million for Porcello, $30 million for Price, you just picked up the club option on Chris Sale for $15 million,
and you're probably working on a deal. My guess is they picked up the option because it was a bookkeeping thing. They had to do that. My guess is they're working on a longer-term deal for Chris Sale, even as we speak.
See, I would like them to see what he looks like this year. It's almost like...
When you do that, almost inevitably, don't you piss them off so that they want to go out the door?
Yeah, maybe, but don't you think he has to realize that it's for a reason? It's one thing if he was just
even when it makes sense. Yeah. Ultimately, they end up taking it personal.
That's why the NBA, it actually helps out, because Kyrie Irving, it wouldn't make sense financially to sign now, but also for the team, like, let's see if he's healthy first. And so with Chris Sale, maybe it'll piss him off, but if you sign him to a huge deal right now and he's hurt in September again, then that looks like a terrible deal. So I think you should want to see him pitch the rest of the year, next season, and see what that looks like.
You finally got some money coming off the books. You know, all this money you've been paying for guys to not play for you.
Yeah.
You are going to free up some money there. Say whatever you want, and I know that for some reason that baffles me. There's a segment of Red Sox fans who just do not like John Henry a bit. You cannot even begin to argue with what that guy has done here. Under his ownership group,
right?
They show up. You've gone 86 years without a World Series title. They show up here, and you've now got four, and they spend money. I mean, they spend.
Yeah, no, that is definitely not a complaint at all. I mean, it shouldn't be. I mean, this year they were number one. They had the highest payroll, and most years they're at the top. You know, usually you got like the Dodgers or the Yankees, but they're always right there at the top. So that's not a complaint. I think the one thing, and this is years old, but Dale, the one thing I could bring up, is, I guess, would be choosing Larry Lucchino over Theo Epstein.
Yeah, which, again, is years old. And, oh, by the way, they've got a guy now who's also won a World Series.
But yeah, after that. Well, then they went out and got Dombrowski, which I liked at the time. I thought that was a guy you're changing it up a little bit. But that's all I'm thinking about, is all right, what else is there? And, bringing in the Bobby Valentine year was terrible. But still, where they're at right now... No, I mean, I can't complain about that. And it looks like they have a manager that, could be here for a long time.
I mean, his little talk here with TC in front of this crowd
gave
you – and we've had a chance.
Yeah.
We had a regular weekly visit with Alex, until August, and then OMF took that over. But every time we talked to him, we thought, I can see what players see in this guy, what they think of this guy. You know, he's talking about how haunted he was – that he left Eduardo Rodriguez in and put him in a position he never should have left him in. I mean, he is perfectly willing to say, man, that's on me. Well, I screwed that.
That's what was so impressive, if you think about it, was they lose an 18-inning game. And it seemed like it motivated them more than the Dodgers. Like, that could have been a swing game. I mentioned how Ken Rosenthal kept saying, well, this could be a costly loss. This could be a real costly loss for the Red Sox. And it wasn't. It motivated them. The combination of Nathan Eovaldi's performance and the pitchers really rallying around him, but also Alex Cora addressing everybody after the game.
And the players to a man said, you should have heard it. And they apparently gave him a standing ovation at the end.
Yeah, so they were like more fired up. It's like, you just lost a 7.5-hour game, and it did more for them than it did for the Dodgers. And I guess, you know, had we known what he said and how it really went, I don't think anybody would have been surprised that they went on to win in 5 games.
And just listening to him here today, you could see exactly
why
the players like him so much, why they like playing for him. Now, look, it's going to come to an end someday, okay?
Sure.
It always does.
Yeah, Francona.
We thought about what it was like with Terry Francona when he was here, and then ultimately you got to the point where he said, okay, it's time. It's going to be time for Alex Cora someday. Not for a while, though.
I agree with you. I don't think it'll be for a while. And then even when it came to Francona, it also, the players have a big part in that, too. Like, you know, the manager can cover up certain things, and, you know, he can be the face of the team, and you kind of go off of his energy. But it got to a point, some of the guys that Francona was managing by the end, let's be honest, they made it pretty difficult for him. You know,
and they gave up on him.
They did, but you're saying, all right, well, some of those personalities, where that's the other thing with this team, is, you know, Alex Cora mentioning how they gave Chris Sale a standing O when he was going out to close out the World Series. Do you think the guys in 2011 would have given each other a standing O or things like that?
No, I don't.
And I don't think they would have either. And that's not the most important thing. Like, you got to have a very talented team, and 11 had talent. But there also is something to the guys getting along. And this team reminds you of the 13 team in the sense that they seem to all be best friends, essentially. Like, they all get along so well. And that's why you have a number of guys that are okay with, all right, they're not playing. So, you know, Bradley and Benintendi have to split time in the National League Park. Holt and Kinsler are splitting time. You know, Devers and Nunez are splitting time. The catchers are splitting time. Moreland and Pierce. Like, that's a lot of guys that aren't everyday players, but they're okay with it.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.